Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's really good to have you along again. Every profession needs its heroes, the people who have the courage to challenge convention, drive outstanding achievement, and give our discipline a noble name. In this episode, we'll be speaking in depth to one such hero, learn about what they do, how they've got here, and a bit about what's made them who they are today. I'm delighted to be joined today by marketing consultant Sarah Donnelly. Sarah, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, very good. Thank you very much.
And where do we find you today?
So you find me in a very exciting new chapter of my career, actually.
Oh, on.
Yeah. So I've recently, in the last couple of months, left in-house marketing, which I've been for all of my career, really, and become a consultant. So I've set up on my own. So my company is Firecracker Strategic Marketing, and my website will be with you soon, which I will share. And also doing a lot of work with a couple of other companies, including Greystone Strategy. It's really good fun. It's a lot of looking at different companies' marketing strategies, at their brand, at their marketing and communications generally. And that can be anything from a startup or a scale-up who are looking to really explore who they are now, because they're very clear on their product or their service, but they're less sure about, you know, how they put their brand out there in the market and where they take it, through to people with big marketing teams that want me to come in and do specific projects to look at a campaign or to look at how their team's structured, or even a couple of people have approached me about doing some being a marketing director for them. Basically, they're not quite of the size where they could be have a big marketing team. They've maybe got one or two in-house and they'd like me to come in and act as a marketing director / CMO for them. So it's really good fun, and it's really interesting.
That does sound really interesting, and I guess what that paints is a picture of actually quite a broad range of skills and services that you offer. And you might not want to answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
Is there a place where you like to focus in that? What are the bits in that you really enjoy?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've always loved doing strategy. I've always enjoyed looking at companies' overall business objectives and strategy and where they want to take their business, particularly if they're in a period of change or they're in a period of growth, and how their marketing can really truly support that. So I really enjoy looking at that and making sure their marketing strategy and their business strategy are aligned. But saying that, I really enjoy it through to working with somebody who's maybe stepping up into a more senior role and they need some mentoring and some developing and helping them to realise what they want to achieve. I think the biggest part of what I enjoy is there's a constant stream of new clients with new challenges and understanding their business. So in a very short space of time, you have to understand a whole new business that maybe you haven't been around before, and quickly get to grips with what they're trying to achieve and what their challenges are. And that's really interesting and keeps me on my toes.
Do you have a particular sector focus?
I have a background predominantly in built assets, although I've worked across law firms and surveyors, engineers and accountants, all different people. But I've also worked in fraud and investigations, and I've worked with automotive clients through to pharma clients. So no, not really. But recently I've been doing a lot for tech scale-ups, and that's been fascinating because whilst I was a little concerned in the past when people would use the words tech startup to me, because I think, oh, do I understand the tech enough? Actually, when you start to understand what the tech's been developed for, that's really where you're looking at how they can grow and how they can develop their business. So recently I've been working with an organization called Contora, and they were set up by a group of project managers who had done a lot of IT projects, were self-employed, and when the IR35 changes came in, they were looking and saying, look, some of these projects are really, really complicated, and people are using sort of old-fashioned schedules of works and paperwork to do things. Actually, if we could develop a platform that can have all their contracts, all their information in one place at one time, and they can see at any point in time how much they've spent and who's done what outputs and where the project is, that could be great. And that's what they've developed. And actually, I understand projects, project management. We've even done my prints too, funnily enough. But yeah, it's when you start to understand why they set up and what they're trying to achieve that you can really get under the skin of it without actually having to understand the technology in the background itself.
So a really big change for you moving into consulting after a good dedicated career client side. So I'd love to know, maybe take us through the what got you to this kind of crux decision that you were going to take that road. Tell us about the key steps in your journey so far that kind of got you to this point.
Yeah, I think having predominantly through my career worked in fee-earning businesses, I've seen fee-earners go out, whether they're lawyers or whether they're engineers or whether they're business consultants, management consultants, efficiency consultants, all sorts of different people. I've watched them go out to clients and help them be better and help them achieve what they're looking to achieve. And a number of times during my career, I've always been very, very open to opportunities and putting myself forward to learn and do anything, listening to people around me at all levels to hear their stories and their background. And within that, a few times people have said to me, have you not considered doing consultancy yourself? Have you not thought about it? And in fact, back in the days when I worked at a company called Navigant Consulting, we had an intern from a college in Boston, fantastic guy called John Chartier. And he worked with us for a summer and he was amazing. And he's now a partner at McKinsey. You know, he went off and he stayed in marketing, but he went down the consultancy route. And we talked about it a lot over the last 10 years. And he's often said, you know, you'd be great at this because you're fascinated by new companies all the time and different things. And you're very good at coming in and seeing a problem and fixing it or looking at the bigger picture. But I wasn't quite brave enough to do it. And then I turned 45 in January and had a sudden moment of, you know what, if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it? And so that was it. But I think in terms of the key steps, one of the things that I would say is I've been very, very lucky with the people I've worked with over the years. From my very first manager, who I actually interviewed for a secretarial job, and she said, no, you don't want to be a secretary. I've got sons your age. What do you want to do? And I said, marketing. She said, right, we're going to get you into marketing. And through to bosses that have given me huge opportunities to try new things or to be on, you know, executive boards with senior management leadership boards where I can hear not just about the marketing side of things but about the whole business and have that big picture. So I think I've been very lucky in that way, and I think that's really helped me on my journey.
Well, there's a lot of there may be a bit of luck, but there's an awful lot of skill and expertise that I think you bring to bear as well. So tell us about business marketing then. You know, where are we in the world of business marketing now? What's the latest? What's keeping you interested?
I think for me, it's the same things that have always kept me interested, but they suddenly seem to have taken traction across the business marketing community. I've always been fascinated by psychology. It's the way people's minds work has always fascinated me. And I think that's why professional services, I thought it was just professional services, but actually going out and working with all different companies, I just love the way different minds work. So some people are very word focused, some are very visual, you know, with imagery, and some are number focused. And that's always been interesting to me. And you have to understand how people think to be able to start to think about how you market to them and how you get in front of them. And there's been a lot of change in the last sort of maybe 5 to 10 years of people looking at things like brand purpose and having a bit more care about the world around them and brands having to show that they're not just in it to make money, they're in it for more than that. And I think with B2B marketing, with business marketing, we've always had to do that because it's always been about relationships. But how people are looking at those relationships now differs. And, you know, people are seeing information in so many different places. And I think business marketeers are looking at it saying, what do I need to do? Yeah, what do I need to do differently? What's the next trend? And I think sometimes we have to take a step back and say, it's always been about people. It will always be about people. So what do we know about people and come at it from that angle rather than trying to find the next tech whizzy thing? At the same time, I think sales and marketing have got a lot closer. I think people are using a lot more marketing technology and sort of personalization. Data's come into it a lot more. There's a lot more video being used. I think there's some great tools out there to do some very impactful and interesting marketing. So things like CogniClick, where you can do a survey and it will personalize a report to the respondent, and those sorts of things are great. But you should always couple that with what's the traditional stuff we're doing too. How, you know, don't forget to pick up the phone, don't forget to have a conversation, and you know, people are people. And actually, a couple of times I've had some really good traction in the last 5 years by putting pen to paper and writing someone a letter, because nobody gets posts anymore. They get very excited by it. So, you know, I think it's just really thinking about, yeah, there's lots of new things and always keep learning. You can never stop learning in business marketing, but don't forget the fundamentals as well.
How vulnerable do you think that change is? So, you know, with the likes of the cost of living crisis becoming more prominent, there's war, so the global situation doesn't look anywhere near as secure and relatively predictable as it did just a couple of years ago now.
Yeah.
So do you think that trend that you described there is robust enough to be able to survive those kind of big shocks, or do you think we might see something of a regression?
I think probably something of a regression, if I'm honest, and I think that's because of two things. One is, I remember right around the start of the pandemic, I was on a webinar, and everyone was sort of swamping themselves with webinars, right? And as we all know, and one lady from a law firm actually said, do you know what, we did this campaign, and when we look back on it, even within the week, we realized how tone deaf we were. And that became a thing, is always running things with my team at the time, saying we've got to make sure we're not tone deaf. We've really got to think about how people are feeling. And I think things move so quick at the moment, and there are so many crises that you know, if you're going to use personalization, for example, be very careful, because you don't know what situation someone's in. And that personalization could come across quite badly sometimes without you meaning it to. So I do think there'll be a regression back to some of the more traditional things. But I also think, and I look to you too, Dave, in your career, I'm sure you've had the same thing. The times when there's been the most pressure on my marketing budget is where myself and my team have got the most creative. And that is actually quite exciting. So to anybody, and probably everybody out there, whose budgets are being put under pressure, get creative with it. You know, that's the time to really shine as a marketing team.
Mm. And are there ways that you encourage your team or the people that you work with, thinking in your new role, you encourage that creativity? Because it's quite interesting, creativity. It's not really something I think you can learn.
No.
But there are ways that it can be nurtured.
Yeah, I agree. First thing is, with clients, and the same used to be with my team, but with clients, it's about what do you really need to achieve? So you might want to do these 10 things. Actually, if only five are achievable with your budget and your time and your resources, what are the five that are going to have the biggest impact? And how do we look at each one of those five and see how it can have a wider impact, and see how we can get the most out of it? And also, but for me, a lot of that is listening to people's stories. Speak to people. Where have people had a problem like this before, and how have they done it? You don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. You know, sometimes people do something and they do it so well that, yeah, do copy it, right? That's the biggest form of flattery. And there's things that I did in very early in my career at a very small firm of, at the time, 25 people, that I still do now because they work. And that can be as simple as, to give you an example, whenever we had an event, and we might have an event for 5 people, we might have an event for 100 people, but if we had an event, I always made sure, and this was much harder because it was before, as this showing my age, but it was before even the internet was on everyone's machines, right? So you had to do a lot of research yourself. Now you've got LinkedIn and things, it's easier. But, you know, I'd make sure that the people from the company that were attending the event had a bio for everybody that was going to be there, including a picture, so they know who to look out for, so they know how to go and chat to them. And that doesn't cost you as a team any money. It costs you time, but you can be so much more impactful with it.
That's a great example. And then, so you told us where marketing has kind of come in the last sort of 5 to 10 years. How about the really unfair question, right? Because these podcasts have shelf lives. So where does business marketing go next? What should we be looking out for?
I think it's going to continue to be about human to human. It's people talking to people. And I think, you know, tech's great and it enables things, but business marketing, you know, I speak a lot to different clients, and I've had this throughout my career where they say, I work for this client, and they say a business, and you say, who do you work for? Or this client? No, who at that client? Who are you actually speaking to? No businesses are too, you know, inanimate businesses talking to each other. They're people talking to people. So I think the more human you are, and as a brand and as an organization, and therefore out in the market, that's going to have traction. I think storytelling will continue to grow. I don't know if it's, I loved stories as a child, whether that's part of it, but you know, storytelling's always been with me, and I've always thought that people connect much more with a story than they do with a slide. And so I think that will carry on. I think there'll be more in terms of business marketing, people moving around. That seems to be a bit of a trend as well. In the last couple of years, people tend to move around a lot more in their careers, and I don't see that changing the same as in any industry. People will move around a lot. And so I think it's going to be a lot as business marketeers, as a community, as looking to each other and finding out what each other's backgrounds are and what our skills are, and helping each other to learn. So, you know, for example, just before I left my last team, we brought an assistant on board who had been a PA in one of the departments. She'd been at the company a few years. And, you know, once I got chatting to her and asked her why she was interested in marketing, she had a great background, and she did photography, and she had a great eye for things. And, you know, she'd studied photojournalism and things. And so you start to get into a world where you go, actually, why are we not looking at those people's other skills? What are their interests outside of business marketing that they can bring to it?
Yeah. Everyone's a marketer at the end of the day, right?
Absolutely.
What should we be reading to cope with these trends? Should we be reading anything? I don't know. I don't actually know whether you're a kind of big business marketing book advocate, or whether you get your business marketing kicks in other ways.
I do read a lot of business marketing books. I also read a lot of business books generally.
Okay.
And also books. I like books, yeah, as I say, about business generally, also about people. I'll go back to this people element. And something I read recently, and it's, some of it's not groundbreaking, right? A lot of us have done Myers-Briggs or Thomas International tests and things, and, you know, you're either a colour or an animal, all these different things. But what actually attracted me to this book was the name, and it's called Surrounded by Idiots. And it's by a gentleman called Thomas Erickson. What it's actually about is, you know, how often do you find yourself thinking, oh, that person's an idiot, you know, or that, you know, I can't really get on with that person, I don't understand what they're thinking. And actually what this is talking about is the 4 types of human behavior. So again, it splits it by red, yellow, green, blue. But actually, instead of boxing you into one place, what it starts to say is, these are the kind of traits of these different personalities, and we're all a mix of all of them. And actually, what can you look out for in each of those that you can start to understand how to better work with that person, or to better understand that person? And, you know, I've always said, wherever I've worked, I don't think I don't say anyone, there's maybe a tiny, tiny percentage, like 1% of people, but I don't think most people come to work thinking, I want to upset someone else. They come to work because they want to do a job and they want to achieve something. And with that in mind, you know, I'm always trying to look for the motivation of someone. If they do something that upsets me or one of my team, or, you know, a client is upset, you know, it's looking at why are you upset? What's behind that? What's driving your emotion? And so that book has really helped me to kind of think about when I've been in situations with people that are very, very different to me, that are driven in totally different ways, and think about, okay, how can I, you know, come to their level and understand what they want to achieve? And I think that's so important, because as business marketeers, that's what we've got to think about. We've got to think about the buyer and what's driving them. And, you know, and in sometimes, you know, sometimes people say about business marketing, oh, well, it's not like consumer marketing. Consumer marketing, you know, it's much easier in certain ways, but it's harder in other ways, because they've got such a broad range of people that they've got to try and put into a block. And so actually, you know, it's the same for business marketing. It's personalities are personalities. But if you can start to kind of think about how someone's the same as you or different to you, you can start to understand what's motivating them. So it's not necessarily a business marketing book, but it's definitely a business book. And it's very, very interesting. And it's very easy to use.
It's a really interesting choice, because I can see how you wouldn't just apply it to your customers, but how you'd also apply it to your internal stakeholders. Because I guess another thing that distinguishes business marketing from consumer marketing is, because it's less well established, you're a bit more dependent upon the kind of your informal stakeholders to get it off in the first place.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And sometimes if you're working in an environment with people whose not only their personality traits are quite different, but their mind works differently. So, for example, you might have a very word-driven mind, you might be very visual, you might have a very sort of picture-focused mind, and you might be working with accountants who are very number-focused. Mm-hmm. And actually trying to find a common ground can be quite difficult. So if you can try and understand from a personal level what personality traits they have and how you can work through those, you can tend to find a way to work through the other parts of it. And I think I read somewhere that, you know, we're now kind of communicating on listeners' terms, because there's so many messages hitting us every day. And if that's the case, then how you're going to influence either clients or your internal stakeholders is to try and do some of the things on their terms.
Do you think MarTech has gotten in the way of marketers being able to reach their clients?
Yes, and I think that started many moons ago, even with email, because it's very easy to send an email or a text than it is to pick up the phone and have a conversation, right? And people even kind of hide behind, well, I was going to do a video call, but I sent you an invite and you maybe didn't see it, and just pick up the phone, you know. So I do think it has. I think it's put a barrier in place, and that is difficult for business marketers, because we're constantly being asked to show return on investment, and that's often through number of leads or through engagement with something. Yeah. And that makes it very hard, because if you want to show those sorts of results, you've kind of got to engage yourself with someone in a technological way. And so I think there's a big pressure on business marketers now to also be working with stakeholders and clients to be saying, this isn't just about leads, this is about profile, this is about who's aware of you, who knows you, what do you mean to them? You know, if you're seen as someone who's just always gets in touch by technology, is that going to work? So I think the most basic way of thinking about that is, has anybody had a problem with a company, whether it's a TV company or a telephone company, or they've bought some tickets and they can't make the gig and they want the money back or something like that? They can't find a phone number to speak to them. For, you know, they just can't, and you can't speak to a person, and you've got a bot on the, and how frustrated do we get? And do, as a company, if you're a relationship business, is that how you want to be seen? And so I think business marketeers have a pressure, but also an opportunity on their hands to be saying to clients or their internal stakeholders, look, you know, we've got an opportunity here when everyone else is relying on tech to be human and to pick up the phone.
Yeah. It's a really interesting paradigm, isn't it? That the things that we need to do to become, I guess, more recognized within our businesses around business marketing are actually the things that prevent us from being able to do our jobs in the way we think we need to.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's you know, and it's up to us to bang the drum and to give those messages to the people we need to, because no one else is going to do it for us. You know, if the IT function needs something, they bang that drum. If the finance team needs something, they bang that drum. So it's up to us to bang the drum to say, you know, we need these things.
Cool. And so if people want to find out more or get in touch with marketing consultant Sarah Donnelly, what should they do?
Well, please go to LinkedIn and you'll find me as Sarah Donnelly on there. I should be quite easy to find, I hope. Or alternatively, they can go to my website and get in touch. And more than happy to chat to anybody who'd like some help or advice or, you know, even just wants a coffee and to have a chat through what they're going through at the moment.
That sounds great. And look, all the very best with your exciting new career venture.
Perfect. Thank you so much. It's great to talk to you, Dave. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Bye now.
Bye.
Cost. Thanks to my guest, Sarah Donnelly, and thanks to our technical man from Through the Eye, Andrew Gratian. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from, just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.